military analyst Jeff McCausland. Jeff, good morning. Thanks, as always, for the time.
It does appear that the agreement has, in fact, come together. That being said, everything's on hold right now because the Israeli cabinet has postponed a vote. They have got to approve the particular agreement that has, in fact, been negotiated. It does appear likely that at least a couple of the more conservative and extreme members of Mr. Netanyahu's cabinet actually oppose this agreement, most notably his economics minister, a guy named Benjamin Smotrich, who is demanding that Mr. Netanyahu resume attacking Hamas immediately in the aftermath of the first phase of this agreement, after roughly 33, we believe, hostages will, in fact, release. And obviously, the push for that would torpedo this whole particular agreement.
Does this kind of remind you at all of 1980 and President Reagan and President Carter and the whole Iranian hostage situation?
It does, in a way. So, interestingly enough, in this case, I think it's a better example because there's clear evidence that Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden, in a really bipartisan manner, have been working together, having their two representatives, Brett McGurk for Biden and a guy named Steve Witkoff for Trump, work together seamlessly on this particular negotiation, do a handoff from one to the other. Hopefully this will transpire on Mr. Biden's watch. There's some suggestion that the Reagan team actually pushed or encouraged the Iranians not to conclude the agreement with Mr. Carter and actually release the hostages after Mr. Reagan had been inaugurated, so in fact Reagan could claim all the credit for that particular event.
Jeff, do you have a timeline of when maybe the Israeli cabinet could take this up and when the ceasefire, if approved, could be implemented?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, I believe, later today or early tomorrow that they will, in fact, vote on this. But obviously, if Mr. Netanyahu can't get his cabinet to vote on it, then the whole agreement goes down. Or, in fact, if these particular ministers can't agree to the negotiation, they could, in fact, push for a vote of no confidence in the Israeli Knesset and actually bring down the government, because Mr. Netanyahu has a very small margin in the Knesset as far as his particular majority. If, in fact, that hurdle can be overcome, then the plan is to go into effect on Sunday.
Would this agreement in its current form do enough to give that region any long-term stability?
Well, one would hope so, but I think the operative adjective here is temporary. It's a temporary ceasefire that's going to go effect in first phase for about 6 weeks. On the 16th day of that particular ceasefire, negotiation will begin on phase two. Phase one will consist of the release of about 33 hostages. We believe at least two Americans will be part of that. Unclear how many of those, frankly, hostages that are going to be released are living. A number of them may, in fact, be deceased, because it's widely believed there's about 93, 94 hostages that were still in captivity, but perhaps one-third of them or more are, in fact, deceased. In return, the Israelis are going to release up to 1,000 Palestinians from Palestinian jails. A substantial number of them will be women, elderly, but a number of them, about 100 to 150, are actually serving life sentences for various attacks within Israel. But that is concluded that on the 16th day, we begin negotiating on the second phase, which will call for a full withdrawal of Israeli military forces from the Gaza Strip, a release of the remaining hostages, and a release of up to 2,000 additional hostages. And if that is concluded, then we'll go to phase three. Phase three is what you're actually talking about, Chris, and that is negotiations for a final settlement, a political authority that would rule Gaza, and reconstruction.
Jeff, changing gears on you before I let you go. President-elect Trump, of course, takes office on Monday. What do you believe he might do regarding the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine?
Well, it remains to be seen. Mr. Trump had widely argued during the campaign that he could end the war in one day. He hasn't exercised that option just yet, or he really hasn't got the ability to do so. He does seem to be backing away from that particular pronouncement. His negotiator that he's assigned is a guy named Keith Kellogg, who's a retired three-star general. He worked in the NSC for Mr. Trump during his first term, and he's now talking sometime within the first 100 days. There is some suggestion of possibility of Mr. Trump meeting with Vladimir Putin, which would be rather unprecedented based on the ongoing conditions, to move that towards some kind of a ceasefire. But in the last couple of days, the Russians, while welcoming a meeting with Mr. Trump, have insisted that all of their preconditions, that they control all the territory they hold, that they control the four provinces that they have demanded are theirs, even though they don't control all that territory, that the government in Kyiv is replaced by a more friendly government, Ukraine and renounces any possibility of joining NATO and Western sanctions are removed, and those are preconditions for negotiations. The Russians also went on to say they were delighted to negotiate with Mr. Trump, but they saw no need for the Ukrainians or any other NATO partner to be involved in those negotiations, which I think would be a very unfortunate thing if Mr. Trump pursues that path.
CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland. Jeff, always appreciate the time and the perspective. Look forward to visiting again very soon.
Take care, Chris.